Warning, the following podcast is meant for comedy. We do not condone or support any criminal activity or crimes mentioned. Enjoy yourself.
True criminals!
Welcome to the show. I'm Eric.
And I'm Scotty.
This is True Criminals, a podcast where we talk to regular people about the crimes they have committed. So we have a guest coming up here in a minute. So I don't know what to call her. We kind of went over some names, but I don't know. I mean, a lot of drug use, a lot of
Dr. Mario's already taken, right?
Yeah, Dr. Mars. I don't know. You know, I was going to say, like, the game Narc is really fun. It's got tons of drug use in it, and it's like, it's out there.
I think from the Ninja Turtles movie?
Yeah. Have you ever played it in real life?
No, I didn't even know it was like a real thing.
Oh, man. So I think they banned it when we were small, when we were kids. I used to play it when I was a kid and then just kind of disappeared. But in the game, like it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up shooter type game. And like I think you can take pills in it and like all of a sudden people will turn into demons and shit.
Oh.
And so you're like these narcotics agents running around just like killing gangsters and shit. I mean, it's all fucked up. It's like,
yeah. I don't know why I don't know. That's funny. The Ninja Turtles movies is the first thing that came to my mind. Like that scene, like I have definitely burned into my head. But I just assumed that game and the song that's playing, where it's like, my body is my body, were all just made up for the movie.
No,
and I was like, those aren't real.
It's a real game. I'm not even played it like on in the arcade, just like in the Ninja Turtles movie, but I'm pretty sure I had it or rented it on like original NES. So when you can play two players and you can both be walking through the streets just killing gangsters left and right. But if you decide not to kill one and you can get up close to one, you can like arrest them and they turn sideways and it says, you're busted. And then they fly off the screen.
It's like a real arrest.
No, I'm pretty sure they did. They like it came out in the 80s. So this is like right around when they started doing parental advisory shit, whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that game was shut down. Maybe we should just call this parental advisory episode. No. Maybe there's got to be an ICP tie-in.
Oh, yeah. Do they not have a game?
Oh, yeah, you would think they would. Maybe a wrestling game.
Oh, no. Yeah, they have like a backyard wrestling game, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I'll look into it. So, but yeah, she was a fun guest. Oh, shit, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so we don't have to do a big, super long intro or anything like that. We'll just go ahead and throw it to the episode. Okay.
Okay.
Here you go. Wait, do I want to throw to the episode? Do you have anything to say? Do you have any crime news?
Oh, man. I've done something.
Okay, well, I kind of have a crime news story that I just thought of the other day. Not a crime news, but a crime that I just thought of the other day. And so, like, I'm adjacent to this crime. I mean, I guess there's a little bit of involvement. My hands have been involved in it, but...
Okay.
I'm not going to say a lot. You do know some of the people involved in this, but I'm not going to say out loud a lot because some people that we know will probably listen to it. I don't know how much people want other people to know that we're involved in
this. Yeah. And it's weird. I'm trying to think of like all the mutual connections we have. And
yeah.
That could go either way. There's a few of them I can be like, oh man, they didn't say my name.
Yeah. So I will say, okay, so one of the people involved in this, he was pretty young at the time this happened. Now, his dad was getting involved into meth, possibly.
Okay. I know what this is. Yeah.
Okay. So his dad, I think he was selling meth, possibly. He had a...
I know he was doing it for sure.
He was doing meth for sure. And... Yeah, his kids, like, I guess they knew about it or kind of knew about it, but maybe it was just like a not that well, very well kept family secret, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had like a shed out in the back where he would go and have a bunch of meth stuff going on. I think he'd just go out there and hang out for like half a day sometimes. But anyways, this kid got mad at his dad one day and he while his dad was gone, he went out into the shed and he dug around in it and he found like a huge bag of meth, like a really big bag of meth. And then he went and he just gave it to somebody else that we know. And I don't know how much meth was there or how much it goes for. I'm going to guess this was over $1,000 worth of meth. Might have been a couple thousand dollars worth of meth. I don't know. When I say I was involved, I mean, I think I may have dabbled in meth here and there around this time. You know, I've definitely done meth before. It was never like a huge part of my life, but yeah, I was just, a lot of people I knew were in getting in and out of this around that time. So like, I don't know if I even did anything with it. He may have given it to me and I gave it to the other person. I can't quite remember the details of it. That's how long ago this is. But either way, yeah, this person that we know, a kid, yeah, stole a big, huge bag of meth from his dad, and then
he would have had to have been like a child when it happened too.
Yeah, because no, actually, later on in life, knowing him, he probably would have been like, "Fuck yeah, big bag of meth." I don't think he would have been like, "Fuck yeah, big bag of meth," and done a bunch of meth, but he probably would have sold it himself had this happened, you know, 10 years later.
Yeah.
But at the time, he was like, yeah, mad at his dad, went and stole this big bag of meth and gave it to someone we know who was like, fuck yeah, who was also doing a bunch of meth at the time and maybe sold some of it, might have just done it all. I don't know. It's a big bag of meth.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've definitely done meth also. And one time, like, just for that, I don't have a whole bunch of meth memories. It wasn't really that much, but me and one other guy who's, I guess he's only been referred to as A on the show. Oh. You and...
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Everybody left the house for, like, the weekend, except for me.
Yeah.
And A lived somewhere else, but he came over and hung out with me the whole weekend. And the neighbor, who was, like, I'm pretty sure cooked meth.
Yeah.
Just kept hooking us up. And, yeah, we did meth for, like, a whole weekend. And we're like... Just the two of us. And I remember, like, at one point, we were, like, looking at ourselves. We were side by side looking in a mirror in the bathroom, like, look different to you? Like, we started getting real panicky about, like, all the, like, before-after meth pictures, you know?
Yeah.
You should stop. Plus, everybody's going to be coming home anytime.
Yeah, no, because, like, you told me this story years later, and I don't think I ever knew about it at the time. Like, I think you guys played it totally cool and got away.
Yeah, I think we were, like, really embarrassed about it. And I think there was, like, probably a couple times just, like, through, like, group interactions or something, one of us would, like, make a joke hinting about it. And then we'd both be like, oh, like, put our heads down.
Okay.
Never mention it again.
But, yeah, so, you know, meth stories. Fun times. Oh, one other thing I just wanted to touch base on. I try not to date these things too much. Well, actually, I don't even give a fuck. Some people don't like to date things in their podcasts because if you say, like, oh, how about the fucking moon landing yesterday? And everybody's like, oh, fuck. Now we all fucking, that was so fucking 40 years ago.
I could record an episode that's like, welcome to Drew Reynolds.
Yeah.
And then we just like make really old references. And when we put it out, we'll be like, oh, we dug up one of our first episodes.
I love that idea. So just thinking about though, have you seen the Kanye news?
The what?
The Kanye news.
No.
It's going on right now where he's wearing white Lives Matter t-shirts.
What?
He was in the news recently. He and, I forget the name of the, Candace Owens, who like writes a...
Yeah, she sucks dicks.
Yeah. I guess they're together now and they were both wearing White Lives Matter. So, and they were, I don't know if what they were doing. They were caught wearing these White Lives Matter shirts. And I don't know if they were filming an art project or what they were doing, but they had a whole bunch of people, and they were all black people, walking in a circle while they watched them wearing these White Lives Matter shirts. And there was one guy in the middle that looked like he was, like, praying. And I was like, what the fuck is this psychotic shit going on here?
So, it is real weird.
It is very weird. And it just, like, it made me, like, think about, like, I almost put a video together that I was going to play for you. Because you remember when Kanye West was on stage at like the MTV Awards or something next to Mike Myers. Mike Myers said, like, oh, we want to give our relief to the people of like Hurricane Katrina. And Kanye West is like, George Bush does not like black people.
And yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then it wasn't scripted and Mike Myers like froze for a second. So I was going to put that video together, only I was going to dub over like, Kanye West does not like black people or something like that. Yeah. Or maybe just George Bush loves black people and do it like a really fake voice like they do on like Kimmel or something.
But George Bush does not like black people as much as Kanye does not like black people.
Yeah, something like that. And then you see Mike Myers freeze and look over at him. But I didn't have time to put it together. That was one of the extra things I was going to try to get going today.
Yeah, man, that's super weird. Like, I think I saw, like, on my YouTube feed, like, a couple things, like, Kanye lost it. Yeah. But I never clicked on any of it or anything, because I just don't get why anybody gives a shit about that guy at all. Like,
so
people say he's a musical genius. I've heard his songs, and I'm not hearing it.
So he's got, like, 4 or 5 songs that I like. I do like the 4 or 5 songs that I know of that I like. However, they're as good as some other songs that I like.
Yeah.
There's a lot of songs I like, and none of them I'm going around like, this guy's fucking breaking new ground. No, I mean, I just liked some songs, you know?
So yeah.
I don't just all of a sudden say, oh, now this person can do whatever the fuck they want, because it's just, you know, they're creative genius. But whatever. Yeah, I don't get it either. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is this Herschel Walker stuff.
That guy's such a dumb bag of fucking rocks. Oh, like, it just blows my mind how, like, any of, oh god, Republicans are so fucking weird, man.
It is, they're crazy. I just don't get it. I really don't know. I really want to bang my head onto a rock and be like, how can a person not see, like, you just can't see what's around you? You can't see? Oh, it's insane.
Just the fact that, like, there's any voters, like, I mean, personally, I feel like the Republican Party is insanely racist. And even if there's, like, Republicans that aren't racist, they support racists. So it seems like he already wouldn't have a very good leg up on this.
Yeah.
But, like, just an imbecile, man. And, like, I don't care about mental problems or brain damage or any of that shit. Like, the guy's a fucking idiot.
he says some of the dumbest shit ever, but yeah, so you heard all the abortion stuff, like he got a secret abortion and paid for it. And there's so much.
I think my favorite one out of that is when they got at, like, somebody was like, your son Christian said all this stuff, you know, like, is that true? And he was just like, my son is, he graduated. And love him. I'm there. I'm there for him. And he flees the school and he's a man now. And like, that was it.
So I think SNL either comes back this week or maybe they came back. They're coming back soon.
Last week.
Okay. I knew it was coming back. But I was like, man, I got to start watching that because there's got to be some really good Herschel Walker bits.
Oh, coming. Yeah. It was Keenan on Weekend Update doing it. And it was so funny because, like, my girlfriend, she doesn't keep up with any of that stuff or pay attention. I don't want to be one of those weirdos that are like, oh my god, this happened.
Watch out.
So, like, I keep my mouth shut about it. But, like, the whole time, like, Keenan is, like, saying shit, and she's laughing, and I was like, he really said that! Like, Keenan was like, there was no script. It was just him repeating what the guy actually said.
Yeah, well. No, yeah, that's a who's the real criminal for sure.
Who's the real criminal?
Like, oh my god, he's insane. And yeah, I don't know. I just don't know what to think when I see. Last night we were having dinner and we were kind of talking about some of the stuff. I think we had some of it playing in the background. And like my wife and I looked over at our youngest son, you know, and he's 17, and we're like, you know, that guy back, like, who's saying all that crazy shit 10 years ago, if a Republican had gone through the stuff he's going through right now, he would have had to, like, apologize, and he would have backpedaled immediately, and then he would have resigned and dropped out, or he would have dropped out of the race within a week. And I'm like, now that's the norm. You can do anything you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy. But all right, so there
like,
was that.
They talk about his like Heisman Trophy and shit, and like all this stuff. Like O.J. Simpson got all of his like NFL shit like taken back, and they decided he was innocent.
Yeah.
Like he's innocent, but we're gonna take all this shit back. This guy's just a fucking bumbling idiot, just saying the most nonsensical shit ever. None of it makes sense. Not a fucking word out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And I feel like, mm-hmm. you know, every generation's like, oh my God, politics are way crazier now. But like right now it's the craziest, right?
it literally is. It really is. Now sometimes like I listen to some old podcasts that or not some old podcasts, but some podcasts that'll cover some old American history stuff and they're comedy and they're pointing out the craziest shit. Like when Alexander Hamilton and that guy and Aaron Burr are shooting each other and shit, and they're like, oh, these congressmen were actually fighting each other with canes in the middle of the fucking floor or whatever. Well, that does sound crazy, but everybody back then was also kind of crazy and stupid. Like, we're mostly normal.
But also, like, if you didn't wear, like, a top hat and your shiniest shoes, you lost votes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now this guy's, like, fucking orange just coming out of his mouth. And they're like, as long as he's Republican, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, these people are fighting each other with sticks in the middle of the in Congress because they both strongly believed in what they were what they were disagreeing right, over. Right. Now it's like a puppet show, yeah, where it's almost like Mr. Punch and where they're like beating each other on stage with puppets. And I'm like, oh my God, this is insane. It really is like you're watching. I mean, when people say you can't write this shit, I mean, it almost is that. Like, if you were to write this, it's like when you're saying Keenan put that down, and he just read it, and it's kind of like you can't write this shit. Well, what else are you going to say? That's crazy.
I think if you did write it and pitched it, nobody would be like, nah, that doesn't make sense. But, yeah. Like, I mean, there was a one where they're like, so after all of this, have you reached out to any of the mothers of your children? And he's like, no, why would I do that? I'm like, well, because of the reports. It's like, because of the reports, I got more kids. That makes no sense. You had them before. You were just fucking lying. Because of the reports, you have to admit to having more kids.
Because of report. Yeah. Because I took that DNA test.
I'm right? Not- it's that fucking Trump shit where they're like, well, more tests just means more cases. No! Yeah. More tests just mean we can identify the cases that are existing with or without the fucking tests.
Yeah. If you didn't find that evidence, I wouldn't have done it.
Oh, no. He's a fucking blockhead.
Yeah. But, all right. So there we go. That's our crime news and update. Yeah. True criminals, all that stuff. Let's go ahead and roll to the interview now. So, welcome to the show.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me.
Anything you want to talk about? We'll cover some general topics that we normally go over, but more or less, we're talking to regular people, you know, your everyday average people that just what they've done because everybody's committed crimes.
Oh, absolutely. For sure.
And sometimes the only difference between the people that are in prison and, you know, your neighbor is that they got caught. So.
I know that's right. I know that's right, for sure. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for having this platform for people to share their stories. I think, like you said, the only difference is, you know, some people haven't got caught, some people have got caught, and some people are just more out there with their stories. And I think a lot more people can relate. So thank you for having this.
Yeah. No, that's a lot of what we're doing. We're not trying to normalize crime or anything like that.
Right, right.
But we are trying to normalize what everybody actually is and what they do, you know.
Exactly.
Trying to take away some of the judgment, I guess, for others, you know.
Yes, for sure.
So
that's awesome.
I myself, you know, I've been arrested before. You know, I've definitely committed a lot of crimes. I'm better now.
Same. And I feel like with me, the only reason I'm better now, like, I mean, I've gotten into trouble since this arrest. This was like the only time that I ever sat time. But since then, like, that was the time where I was like, I'm never going to put my mom and my grandma through that again. Like,
yeah,
I'm never going to make them go through that process. And I haven't. I've stuck to that. But I mean, I've had booking pictures and I've had my mugshot since then. But I haven't had to go and sleep on that itty bitty mattress again. I haven't had to, you know. But it's something where you're just like, it's not fun for me. I like being able to eat what I want to eat when I want to eat. I like being able to take a normal shower when I want to shower. Like,
yeah,
there comes a point where you're like, I'm done. I'm doing better right now.
Yeah. So you sent a long email. I read through it. Before we get too deep into it, I will say you use some terms and some acronyms and stuff that I'm not quite familiar with. My wife helped me. Helped me decipher a little bit of it. So, yeah, I'll go through that here in a bit. But so on regular stuff, just some of the general things, have you done drugs?
Yes, I have.
All illegal drugs?
I've actually dabbled in the illegal and the pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals was my addiction after my miscarriage in high school. That was my drug of choice for 7.5 years.
Okay. Now, was it like, I mean, so I've dabbled in a lot of pharmaceuticals as well.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, like, the popular ones are going to be like your Xanax, your opiates, you know, things like that.
Mine, actually, I have ADHD, so mine, Adderall was the thing that I avoided. Because it made me zombie out. And that was actually part of my spiral into my like psychotic break that led to my arrest, was being inconsistent with my Adderall. My drug of choice was actually benzos. Like, I was always into downers. And so I was into like Klonopin, Flexeril. Pain meds weren't really my thing, but like if I had them, then I was like, all right, well, fuck it. I have them. Might as well take them along with this. And promethazine. I was definitely a syrup girl. I lived in this rural town where like meth was so prominent.
Yeah.
And I think the doctors were like, well, fuck it. At least she's not doing meth. And she just wrote me script after script after script where I could walk out in 1 week with 4 bottles of syrup from the local pharmacy.
So, okay, let's clarify for anybody listening. Syrup, what are you saying by that?
Promethazine, codeine.
Yeah, codeine, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so people mix that. They call it something in like, yeah.
Salt. Lean.
Yeah, you mix it with what, Sprite or 7-Up or something?
You're supposed to mix it with Sprite, but let me clear something up. I was such a bad drug addict that I did not realize you were supposed to mix it with Sprite.
Oh.
I would mix it with vodka.
Oh,
and
geez.
Then I would mix it. I would actually mix a double cup with vodka, and then I would wash it down with a 6-pack of Bud Light.
Oh.
And then I would chase it with Flexeril and Klonopin, which is muscle relaxers and anxiety meds.
Yeah.
And then I would smoke blunt after blunt after blunt with my friends that were on methamphetamine.
Jeez.
And let them drive my car because I'm a sloppy, dreamy mess over in my passenger seat. But nobody at this time had any idea that I was a drug addict. This was well after my arrest. This was
6 weeks
years
ago.
Years and years. Oh. Right. No.
This was last week.
Oh, yeah. Right. This is, you know, a typical Tuesday. This was last week. No, this was, I'm 32 now. This was, I was like 24 when this was happening. So that was, that was my addiction. And I actually overdosed at my factory job doing that because I was taking like just fistfuls of these medications. I mean, I'm a big girl now, but I was big then. And so my tolerance was through the roof and I was taking fistfuls of these pills at a time because I couldn't tolerate standing on the concrete floors for all these hours at a factory. And then I got the news that one of my friends went to jail and the judge had told him, next time you come to my court, you're going to prison. And something went off in my brain and told me, hey, go get some more pills in your system to cope with this. And the next thing I knew, there was an ambulance inside the factory and I just hear someone screaming, she has no heartbeat. So that was my end all be all of pharmaceuticals.
Like the rock bottom moment, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. I wish it was my rock bottom of drugs, but that was my rock bottom of pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so I broke my neck and it was in a major work accident. And so I was on a lot of opiates for a long time. And so at the height of mine, yeah, I would open my bottle and I would just kind of just pour the bottle into my mouth, you know? And I was like, not just dumping it like I'm trying to kill myself or something. But
just some Tic Tacs.
But yeah, yeah. Sprinkling. I'm sprinkling into my mouth.
So, oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Those days, man. And it's crazy because I can't speak for you, obviously, but I still have those days where like a song will come on that I would play during my,
yeah,
you know, my sloppy mess of riding around. Cause we, you know, I live in the Midwest. There's nothing to do but ride back roads and get fucked up, man. And, like a song will come on and I'll just start feeling like drool running down my chin and I have to quick check and make sure it's not happening. And people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, nothing. Just checking.
So, man, so like you're driving around with these people. Like, I understand what you're saying because you're saying the people on the meth are. I would say honestly, someone on meth, if let's say they're at the start of it, at least they've only been up 24 hours. I would trust them to drive well before I would trust someone who'd been drinking. You know.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. They'd be drinking too, and they'd be smoking blunts too. So it's a whole like. Where I'm from, we learn how to drive drunk. Like it's a thing where we live. You're almost a better driver drunk than you are sober because that's just how we're country kids. So that's like what we do. So you learn the back gravel roads drunk and then you can't drive in the city for shit when you're sober. Because we're just, now looking back, we're like, wow, we are irresponsible pieces of shit. But back then, it's like, that was normal for us. But it was, then you'd have me, and I literally couldn't reverse while I was stoned, and I couldn't do hills even as a passenger when I was on lean or pills. But nobody had any idea that I had this addiction. So I would literally make anybody else who was in my car hold my hand for dear life, and they couldn't understand why I was terrified of hills and going, you know, hand over eyes, and they just thought I was crazy, and it was such a bad look.
No, that's wild. So on those, right now we've established that you've done a lot of different pills. I assume you've tried even more than you like. Oh, you like, yes, your favorites, but you've tried a lot more than.
Yes, I have tried. Let's see. Those were my favorites. I have tried cocaine. I have tried ecstasy. And those were the ones I've tried willingly. I was actually tricked into trying methamphetamine. And that was the first time I was told it was Molly. And like in a not capsule form. So I was like, okay, well, how would I know what it looks like not in the capsule? But then I got to thinking, I was like, is that Molly supposed to be like kind of like ecstasy looking? Like, why would it be? Okay, but who knows? Fuck it, right? Like, let's party. And then
so the they next had thing you I, sniff it? Is that what they had to do?
No, they had me like rub it on, like in my mouth.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, whatever. And I don't know why I trusted this person, but whatever. And then the next time we hung out, they're like, have you ever smoked cocaine? And I was like, I've never even heard of smoking cocaine. Like, are you talking about smoking crack? And they're like, no, smoking cocaine. Like, everybody does it in California. And I was like, no, I've never heard of it. Why? Like, and I've at that point, I've done a couple lines. Like, I'm Cuban. Like, I'm bound to try it. So I'm like, sure, what the fuck? Let's try it. Well, then they whip out this pipe. And I know what the fuck this pipe is for. And at this point, it's the point of no return. Like, this is a person you don't say no to when they offer you something. And I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. I have no way out of this. I have no way of leaving. I have no way out of this. Here we go. And that's when I realized this shit in this pipe is the same shit that we put in my mouth. Uh-huh. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? And then I start watching this person more closely on their stories. And I start watching this person more closely when I'm around them. And I'm like, I see it. I see it. And it's, that's, I think that's about all I've, I mean, obviously I drank, I have tequila and rum right between my feet. It's like big ass bottles. I think that's about all I've really tried. Oh, and mushrooms. Mushrooms. I love mushrooms.
Well, I don't think, I mean, honestly, I don't think, first of all, I don't really have that big a problem with anybody doing any drugs as long as you're known not out there causing problems, hurting people, anything right. like that. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, I think there people are starting to come around and say there's a lot of more benefits to, yeah, like your mushrooms and some of your easier going hallucinogen type stuff.
Yes. Yes. I think psychedelics are becoming more or less taboo. They're becoming more like, hey, let's talk about this. Let's see what the benefits are. Let's see what we can do to integrate this into, especially when it comes to the aspect of mental health. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I actually didn't try them until I was much older. And when I did, I was like, why didn't I try this so much sooner? Especially compared to all the years I spent on medications that were, I felt, fucking me up in the head. I, you know, what led to my arrest was me being inconsistent with, I feel, a ridiculous concoction of medications, a combination of Adderall and Prozac. And I was only 16 at the time. What 16-year-old needs to be on Prozac and Adderall at the same time?
I mean, like, even the way you describe Adderall, I'm not sure. Like, I always took it for fun anyway. So I don't know. I get confused on how and why people use a lot of that stuff. So, Scott's joined us now.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Excellent.
So we've really only scratched the surface of a lot of drug use.
Lot of drug use, yes.
Nice.
So in the email you sent me, so you said PMDD, which I guess is premenstrual.
I can't even remember what exactly it stands for, but I always tell people it's PMS on steroids.
Okay.
It's pretty much like what you can imagine your ladies in your life going through, like, magnified. And I just turn into a raging psychotic bitch when it comes to that point, that my doctors wanted to increase all of my medications around the time that my, and I apologize, fellas, since I'm going into lady talk here. whenever my cycles would be ready to come around, they wanted to increase all of my medications, the Prozac, the Adderall, the everything, because they felt like they needed to contain the mood swings, the anger, the rage, because my depression at the time wasn't just simply like, oh, I've got the blues, oh, I'm angry, oh, I'm sad. It was literal rage to the point where things were being broken, things were being thrown, people were getting hurt. It was literal rage and violence around that time.
So when you sent that to me, it said you had a undiagnosed PMDD, and then which caused some medication misuse. I didn't know what PMDD was, so I'm like, it's got to stand for like post mental disorder.
close enough.
Yeah. And I just kind of rolled through assuming that's what it meant. Then I read it to my wife, and she was like, no, that's not what it means. She told me.
Yeah, it was definitely rough, especially in those days, because doctors were just quick to want to diagnose everybody with bipolar and ADHD. Everything was bipolar and ADHD. And in all reality, it was what ended up being determined years later was I had OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and attention deficit hyperactive disorder, which kind of fed off of each other and mimicked different traits of like bipolar disorder. And then I had the PMDD. So it was just a matter of getting the right diagnosis and the right medications in line to get these things figured out.
So prior to this, though, like you, so this, even when you got arrested, at least so far, I don't know how many times you've been arrested, but at least this time.
This was the very first time that I had ever been arrested. I had had the cops called on me all the time just for being a piece of shit. But this was my first time ever getting arrested.
Okay. So, but you were already on medication. So you already had a diagnosis for something.
Yes. I had a diagnosis of attention deficit hyperactive disorder, as well as bipolar.
Okay. And so, you think like a combination of this medication, and were you abusing any of this medication at the time, or?
It's called abusing your medication, but when people think that, they think, oh, she was, you know, overtaking her Adderall or overtaking her Prozac. But in reality, I was not taking it. Because the Adderall itself, like most people, when they take, well, I won't say most people, I don't know the statistics, but when people take Adderall who don't have ADHD, it gives them like a high, it gives them that like rush. When people who do have ADHD take it, it slows them down. It calms their mind. It gets them to focus. For me, they had me on such a high dose that I felt like a zombie. I felt stuck all the time. And then they gave me Prozac as well, which just made me feel even more stuck and even more it was just horrible. And I hated that feeling. And so I wasn't taking it, but then they had this order made to the school where every day that I would go to school, I would have to go to the school nurse's office and take it and show her that I took it. And I would miss going to the nurse before class by showing up late to my first hour class every single day, just so I wouldn't have to take it. And some days she would call me to her office, some days she wouldn't. So I was very inconsistent with it. Some days I would take it, some days I wouldn't. And that inconsistency caused some sort of, I don't know, misfiring or miss something within my brain. It really fucked with something.
Well, I mean, when you take medication and stuff, because I got diagnosed with some junk. So I had a couple things that I was taking, and it was like I would take them consistently. And then once I wasn't waking up and just feeling miserable, was like I wasn't thinking about taking it because I wasn't doing it. And then like, so I wasn't purposely missing anything. It just wasn't on my mind. It's easy to take it when like that's the first thing you're thinking of when you wake up because you feel that depression. But like after missing a couple days, I would I didn't notice it at the time or anything, but I would get really angry and like irritable about shit.
Yes.
And just like little things set me off and stuff. So yes. Like I never really got to balance it out with the medication because I'm terrible at remembering to take pills, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I can totally understand that. I was getting that irritability. I was getting that anger. I was getting that rage. And then the PMDD started kicking in. My cycle started to kick in because I wasn't a birth control kind of person. I didn't think I needed it. So I wasn't having anything to regulate that. And then I got to the point where I was starting to get suicidal. And my cousin, he's not my actual cousin. His mom was married to my cousin. And we were sitting in the school one day and I was expressing that I was suicidal. And he goes, "You're not going to do it. You're too much of a pussy to do it." And it just set me off. We lived in this apartment complex right across the street from the high school. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to remove myself from the situation because if I stay here, I feel like something's going to happen. Something very bad is going to happen. I'm going to remove myself from the situation. And I remember I went home and I grabbed a frozen pizza because I'm fat. No matter what, I'm going to eat. And I went over to my aunt's house. She lived in a townhouse in the apartment complex. And something told me, run back home real quick. And I did. And I saw my cousin, air quotes. And he said, "Oh, I told you you wouldn't do it, you fucking pussy." And I was like, oh, we're starting this again, are we? And I went in the house And I just remember grabbing the biggest knife I could. And I went back out into the parking lot. And it was like a all the way through parking lot. And I stood in the middle of it. And I was like, come here, bitch. If you want to watch, watch. If you really think I won't do it, come watch. And he ran to his townhouse back behind my apartment. And the next thing I know, my mom comes out and she's just screaming and crying. And she's like, don't. And I was like, no, he says I won't fucking do it. I'm going to do it. I am going to kill myself. And I made that statement very loud and very clear. And I'm holding this knife in my hand and nobody's outside. Absolutely nobody's outside at this point. And she's like, just come in, honey. Just come in. Calm down. Let's talk about this. So I go inside and for whatever reason, I say, let's go get a slushie. Again, I'm fat. I'm going to have my snacks. I say, let's go get a slushie. And instead of putting the knife down, I pulled it up into my sleeve of my hoodie and went and got into my truck. And as I'm going out into my truck, everybody in the entire apartment complex, there's like at least 8 buildings in the complex of just the apartments, but everybody in the apartment complex and the townhouses is now standing outside their apartments and their balconies. And they're just watching and they're on their house phones. This is the days of like landlines, people. And I, again, at this point, the knife is up in my sleeve. Nobody can see it. And I get in my truck. My mom gets in my passenger seat and we leave. And we go not even a mile. And a cop comes down the hill in the opposite direction. And I look in my rearview mirror and I tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to jail. And she goes, no, maybe he's going somewhere else. You have no idea. And as soon as she finished saying that sentence, he whipped a shitty and hit the lights and sirens. And I pulled over and I pulled out my ID and set it up in the window. And he came to the window with his gun to my head and said, where's the knife? And I couldn't understand how he knew that I had a knife when nobody else knew. Like, no, I had no idea. And so I said, it's at this point, it was in the center console. When I got in the truck, I had put it in the center console. I said, it's in the center console. I'm not going to reach for it. And he said, just get out. I'll grab it. So I got out, he grabbed it. And he handcuffed me and put me in the back of his car and drove me back to the apartment complex. And when I got there, there was like 3 or 4 other officers there, squad cars there with other officers too. And they're taking statements from everybody that was on their balconies. And I couldn't understand why they were taking statements from everybody when nobody was outside, when everything was happening, when I was screaming at my cousin. But they were taking statements from everybody. And then they took me to our little Mayberry police station and they were trying to figure out where to take me. And they're like, all right, well, take her up to Winona. So they're driving me. And then all of a sudden the officer looks in his rearview mirror. He's like, how old are you? I was like, you don't even know how old I am. You just you arrested me. You don't know how old I am. And I was like, I'm 16 years old. And he goes, oh, shit. He hits his radio. He's like, where do we take her? She's only 16. And they're like, oh, fuck. You got to take her to Rochester. And I was like, I am not going to the psych ward. I am not going to the psych ward. And he's like, no, you're not going to the psych ward. You're under arrest. You realize this, Courtney. And I was like, okay, I can handle jail. I'm not going to the psych ward. I'm not going to the psych ward, but I'll go to jail. And I was like, wait a minute. Why am I going to jail? He's like, haven't you been told what you're being charged with? No. So he's like, well, they'll tell you that at processing. So I go to, so I ride this city that they're taking me to is like a good hour and a half away. I'm waiting that whole time to see why I'm going to jail. Because again, I was suicidal. And I was like, you know, I kind of was loud. I was a nuisance. Okay, I'll own that. I get up there. And as they're booking me, they're fingerprinting me, doing my mugshot, which, by the way, if anybody has a copy of that, let me know. It was like a cute mugshot.
It's probably sealed.
You're under 18. I know. I'm so sad. As they're doing that, she goes, are you aware of why you're... She showed me this cell that was supposed to be mine, and it's literally a single cell. It looks like a shower stall in the middle of master control. She's like, that's supposed to be your cell, but somebody's already in there. So we have to wait to get you in your block until we clear it out. And I was like, what do you mean clear it out? She said, you're not allowed to share a block with anybody because of your security status. I was like, what do you mean my security status? She goes, aren't you aware of what you're being booked for? And I was like, I mean, disorderly conduct, maybe a domestic, because my mom, I was screaming and my mom was crying. I don't know. Like, I hurt her feelings. I don't know what. And she goes, several counts of terroristic threat, several counts of aggravated battery, several counts of aggravated assault, all with the modified enhancer of with a deadly weapon. I was like, wait, what? And she goes, do you understand that every single one of your neighbors wrote a statement that they are a victim and willing to testify against you in court that you had a knife and were threatening their lives? I was like, but nobody was outside. And I wasn't threatening anybody but myself. Like, this was suicide. I wasn't homicidal. I was suicidal. And nobody was outside. She goes, well, these are federal offenses. And you are being held at the highest security level that we have. You can't even go to the library unless every inmate in the facility is locked down. What?
Were they locking people down like you were a master criminal? Like you were like you might hurt them?
Yes. They literally, I was not allowed to go to school. I was not allowed to go to rec. I was not allowed to go to the library. I was not allowed to go to chow. They had to lock people not just in their block, but in their cells for me to go get my tray. Just to go get a book, they had to lock everybody in their cell because the library was in A-pod, and A-pod was like a two-part dorm. They had like, it was a federal center, so they had these big black leather couches. They had a pool table. They had the library, and then they had a glass wall that separated that from some tables and then their cells. They had to not only be locked in the second part of their unit, but in their cells just for me to go get a book.
It wasn't just that you were a woman. It was because of the charges.
It was because of my charges. But here's the weird part. Come movie night, we did have a movie night. They locked me alone with every other inmate in the movie room without any correctional officers.
Do you remember what movie?
The Longest Yard. I was pissed.
The original.
You going to get your tray sounds like when DJ Qualls shows up at the new school at Dubai.
Exactly how it felt. So I assume this is the Adam Sandler remake of The Longest Yard.
It was the Adam Sandler remake. And when I tell you, I was terrified to go back to my unit because I was the only person in my block. I was peeking around every corner just waiting to hear music of any kind playing when I went back to my, oh.
How long? Was,
you were giving them the crazy.
Oh, I was. I was. I was definitely caretaker.
How long were you locked up total? I mean, like, just for this portion of it.
Just for this portion of it, I was locked up 5 days. Okay. And the only reason it was 5 days was because I was locked up on a Thursday. I had intake court on Friday, but the judge that I was supposed to see was not in. So they had to find another judge somewhere in the state for me to see. And she's like, I think you should see the judge that you're supposed to see because I don't want to be responsible for the charges that you're actually going to see on this case. And I was like, but I want to go home. Like, you get to decide if I go home today or if I stay. I don't want to stay the weekend. And she said, I really think you just need to stay the weekend and see your judge on Monday. So I sat until Monday, and it was kind of a blessing in disguise because my great grandpa with the location that we live in, it's like a farm community. And this is the meth community that I used to ride around in and get fucked up in. That I call it the five farm families, kind of like the five mob families in New York, but it's farmers. And my great grandpa used to be like well known. He had a farm. He was in theater. He worked at the courthouse as the county commissioner. Everybody loved him. Everybody just, he was awesome in everybody's eyes. And the judge that I saw that Monday worked with and knew my great grandpa. And he was like, no, we're going to reduce these charges to this, get it at a state level, get her home. You're now required to be on medication, follow all instructions by your mental health worker. You're never allowed to even own a plastic butter knife for the rest of your life because you're crazy. And blah, 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 blah. And then the DA was like, well, can we at least get a DNA sample so we can make sure she's not out being a career criminal for the rest of her life? And the judge was like, no, fuck you. Boom. And I was like, all right, that's what's up. And he put me on probation, and I never, like, I saw my PO maybe twice the entire time. She never drug tested me. She never checked for my medication. She never enforced anything. I was like,
so all are you going to check
for the... How long did you wait before you went to the knife store?
Let me tell you. I'm not going to lie. I probably waited like 6 months before I even used a spork because I was so paranoid that I was going to get in trouble. I was so scared. Like I made my mom get rid of all the knives. She was like, you know, that was a 12-inch knife with a 7-inch blade. I was like, why did we even have that at the house?
Yeah, that's short sword.
That was a sword. To this day, like, I'm still like, I can just maybe dig my steak apart. My nails are long enough. Fuck it.
But I assume though you have knives and you.
Oh yeah, so, yeah.
I can't even imagine now. They can't even really make. He was probably just being hyper.
Like, how would you butter your toast?
That was the thing. Like, that drove me crazy because it was about 6 months before I felt comfortable having them in the house again, and I literally that was the thing I missed the most was sitting there staring at the toaster like I just want toast, bro. I don't care about the steak. I don't care about anything right now. I just want toast.
Well, I will tell you, I butter my toast with a spoon.
Ugh, fucking weird.
Hold on. Let me tell you this. First off, I don't use a toaster at all. We don't even own a toaster.
Oh.
I butter a piece of bread and I make toast in a skillet. I don't like toaster toast. I like toast made in a skillet. Okay,
so you like bougie toast.
It's better.
I mean,
better.
that's how I do like garlic bread if all I have is like loaf bread.
Yeah.
Right. I do that too. I like, so you know what you do? You want to be extra bougie with it? You got to do that. I don't know about the spoon. Like, I guess that's like, that's extra up there. But you got to use everything seasoning. I'm a skank for everything seasoning.
We keep it in the cabinet. The only thing I really use it for though is when I make pot pies. Like, I'll, cause I do multiple layers, but middle layer has sprinkles of everything.
Now I want Popeyes. See, now you guys got me off on this tangent. Now we're talking snacks. And you see I'm over here just wide as all outside. Now I want some snacks.
So one time I had to spend like roughly a week in jail. But when I was in the holding cell before I ever got booked, I watched a guy who had also like attempted or said that he was going to commit suicide. So they put him in like, it was like a smock, and it looked like it was made out of carpet.
The turtle dress!
Yeah. So like, I mean, your 5 days would have been a lot worse with that, right?
Yes! So much worse. And they almost did. I think the only thing that saved me from the turtle dress was the fact that I was probably too big for it. No joke, because they put me in handcuffs and shackles. And when I tell you, like, It was miserable. Like, I had the indents and I couldn't even be like, oh, police brutality. It was no, like, I'm just fat. Like, it was bad. And they, like, they wanted to do the little, like, the strap that connects the two. And they kept, it was so bad because the courthouse. Like,
seatbelt extender and planes?
Yes. It was like, can I get an extender, please?
Yeah.
Please. Oh my, that was another thing that was so bad. So I don't know if you or any of your listeners like know of ICP, but that's what I got arrested in. I was wearing a Psychopathic Records hoodie and it looked like blood splatter across the front, and it had Hatchet Man and said Psychopathic Records. And then I was wearing the black gaucho pants and the pink flip-flops with the Madagascar penguin. So I looked just insane. And that's what I had to wear to court.
So this was the mid-2000s, right?
Oh, yes. This was 2006.
So, I mean, this was I would have thought ICP would... I don't know. I listened to ICP when I was about 15. And that was in the mid-90s.
Oh, they are still so prevalent in our... Like, let me tell you.
Do you now or did you ever consider yourself a... Juggalette.
Oh, I was wicked clown love. Juggalette. Like, I have prom pictures of me in my beautiful gown, 2008. Wicked clown love. Like, it was. I
have you drank a Faygo?
Oh my gosh, I have Faygo in my fridge right now. Red Pop.
Okay. They didn't. I'm from Oklahoma. They didn't sell Faygo there. I didn't even see a Faygo until the first time until I moved to Dallas.
What?
I can find Faygo, like, a few stores around here have it, but
Dollar Tree.
Really odd stores.
He said the really odd stores.
So, yes. So growing up in Oklahoma, me and my friends, when we were into ICP, we had no clue what Faygo even was. Because I just sing, like, oh, I got to get this Faygo. What? We're like, what the fuck is Faygo, man? We had no clue.
And then when you found out, you're just like, soda?
Kind of.
Like, really?
They sing about soda this much?
kind of. Yeah. We really were. Really? I don't even think I found out until I was like an adult, though. Like, I listened to it when I was 15. Yeah. And then I didn't find out until I was like 18 or 19 what Faygo was.
There was like a couple months where like Eric and I stayed at the same place, and I feel like every morning I woke up to him playing the love song.
Playing what?
The love song where he's talking about having babies falling out of ass.
Yeah, I could love you and treat you with class.
Yes.
Have babies falling all out your ass.
Oh my gosh, my mom, I introduced my mom to ICP. I actually have pictures on my Facebook of me with a Shaggy 2 Dope, like, full face mask, like, hat, ski mask style, and I cut holes for my pigtails. It was outrageous. And I think I have one of my mom in it on her 40th birthday, and What Is a Juggalo is her song. She will sing it beginning to end, and I'm just, to this day, she will, and I'm like, Mom, we can't be doing this. And she's like, yes, we can. So I think there might be a few other mugshots coming in our future. We'll see if she keeps it up.
So were you ever arrested again?
I was. The very next year, actually, I got arrested. Not technically arrested, but I got booked for burglary of my best friend's family snowmobile club. I was pregnant, 17, and my baby daddy, his brother, my roommate, and my cousin, they did some shit that they shouldn't have been doing. They were naughty, and I was sleeping in the truck, and my baby daddy told on me. He totally snitched on me and said I knew about everything. And I really actually didn't. Like, I'll own what I do. And
What happened, though? They went and stole some
They stuff? Went and robbed the joint. Okay. My baby daddy, his brother, and my roommate, they went in and robbed the joint while I was sleeping in the truck. And they hid everything at my house. and my baby daddy snitched on me and then tried to tell me, oh, you were in the surveillance video. And I was like, but everybody else says I wasn't. So why would you say I was, you lying little bitch? And so I did get booked for that and talked my way off of probation for that one, because that was the first year Barack Obama was running for president. And I was like, I feel like I need to vote in this election. And she was like, I think you do too. Let's get you off probation. And I was like, wait, that worked? And she's like, huh? And I was like, huh? And so I got off probation.
You and your baby daddy get married after that or what?
What was that?
You and your baby daddy get married after that or what?
You know it. We sure did. No, actually, he was just trying to stalk my life. We have the second largest Oktoberfest in the world next to Germany. And he was just stalking my life at the parade. And so I was like, no, go away. But yeah, so that was fun. And then I got arrested on Christmas. My grandma got me arrested. That was when I was 19. And then I think that was it. That was because I had a payment arrangement on a traffic ticket. I took out a light pole. I did take out a light pole, and I had to pay for it.
Is that your traffic ticket, though? That's the traffic ticket, taking out a light pole?
I did take out a light pole, and I got traffic tickets up the ass because I only had a instructor's permit. And so I had a payment arrangement on that, and the cop that arrested me said, you have a warrant for your arrest. And he sure enough arrested me on Christmas. And so my grandma is actually the one that called me in, and then she's the one that bailed me out that same night.
Well, I mean, sometimes in those situations you get arrested and then get bailed out, it resets the clock, maybe it takes out some of the payment for the bail. I mean, time spent in jail might have made things a little easier, right?
I see, it actually only paid off like one of my payments, and my thing was, like, I had a payment arrangement, and the payment wasn't even due yet. So I was like, how am I getting arrested? That's where I was confused. But, yeah, so, I wasn't.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you had already said, where you live or anything. You'd be cut out or whatever.
Oh, no. I'm in the Midwest. I'm in Wisconsin. This all happened when I lived in Minnesota. I swear I can't,
I'm just really confused because it's like a farm town meth lab with ski mobile clothes.
Yes!
I don't have anything around like that, so I...
It is.
Well, yeah.
I'm right where Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin meet, and it's just a whole clusterfuck of... I mean, you can be in the hood, you can be in Party Central, you can be in the snowmobile clubs, you can be in the meth lab, back country roads, you can, yeah. It all depends on where you take the wrong turn.
And I don't know where Arkansas falls as far as South versus Midwest. Oklahoma's considered the Midwest, so when I think of Midwest, I think of Oklahoma, Kansas. And so there's no snowmobiles. Nobody owns a snowmobile because we don't get that much snow.
And to us?
I live in Fayetteville, which is kind of an anomaly in Arkansas. But yeah, if you drive an hour in any direction, if you drive an hour north, it gets super racist and shit. Crazy redneck KKK shit. There's a town that's known for its racism, and they still have a hanging bridge and shit. That they celebrate. Yeah. And then you go west and it gets really old white money. And then in the east and south directions, it gets a little bit more hood.
Yeah. No, it is the same. It's not, we don't have the super duper racist stuff here, but my grandpa and all of his family is from Kershaw, South Carolina. Super, super small town, super racist. So we have a lot of diversity as far as where people are from, that we're the melting pot of where everybody's from. We have Milwaukee, Chicago, South Carolina, a lot of Louisiana people have been coming up lately. A lot of just everybody from everywhere coming up. So it's a lot of different backgrounds and experience, and it just depends on who you run into from where, and it's
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected there to be that many Cubans in Minnesota.
Oh, they are everywhere in Wisconsin. Wow. Everywhere, especially Madison. And the, like, I'm not scared to say the name. It's just that nobody's going to know where the heck it is because we are like in the middle of bumfuck nowhere.
And you don't have an accent. I was expecting more Minnesota or whatever.
Minnesota. And I'm Norwegian, yeah.
But yeah, so now we've gone over drugs. You've been under arrest. Have you trespassed on some things, right?
I have not, actually.
Oh, did you send a message over?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, you need to jump off here soon?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, if we want to wrap up. Really appreciate you coming on.
No, I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for having me. It has been a wonderful experience. And if I can be of help any other time, I appreciate it. I am sorry to cut it short.
Oh, no, yeah.
So you want to plug anything you got before you top off?
The Unladylike Lounge. We are a women's empowerment group, but our podcast is open to men of any age, whatever. Check us out. We love the true crime, true criminal stuff. We are always down to plug you guys as well. So, yeah. Anytime.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I'll send you a message and let you know when this is out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we're back. All right. So, yes. Did you happen to look up that game? Were you looking up a game?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I saw you going to your phone. I saw you throwing to the internet, throwing to the mega computer that we use to scientifically calculate these things.
Okay, here we go. So
while Scott's going to the mega computer, I will go ahead and say, hey, if you haven't checked it out, we are trying some other projects out there, and we do. Right now, it's just on my YouTube, but we do have a bit out there where we're trying to show where we review movies that don't actually exist. It's called The Movies We Don't Deserve. And so we review the movie Erector Set. Okay, you got a game?
Backyard Wrestling 2, There Goes the Neighborhood.
All right, Backyard Wrestling 2. I love it. Yeah, so you guys heard our guest had some ICP stories. In fact, we all jumped in there. some ICP stuff. Man, I almost like had to throw. I was like, oh, you and those other two guys got tattoos, but no, that was a Cottonmouth Kings thing.
Oh, yeah.
But so yeah, we got some other things going out there. The movies we don't deserve. There's already one video out now, but we should have some more coming up here in the next week or so.
And yeah, I've got a couple movies I plan on reviewing. I'm really excited about, and so should everybody else.
I've got one. I spent some time last night. Yeah, capturing some clips to assemble another trailer. So we'll see what I can do with that. But yeah, watch it. We review movies that don't exist. Of course, if you watch it, you know we're not going to say that in there. We're trying to trick everybody. Don't tell other people it's not real. I think from some of the criticism I got back on our first video was that I definitely laugh too much and give away that it's not real. So
feedback? What did? Now I'm getting all self-conscious.
No, it's definitely me for sure. I can't just review
before we sign off of this episode. Do you want to say anything about like and subscribe?
I do. Oh, geez. Okay, so if you've listened to the show before or you want to go back and look, so there was this fake trailer kind of thing. You made a bunch of fake movie posters. I guess you got drunk one night and decided to just make a whole bunch of fake
posters. And they were all werewolf movies.
Yeah. So you made Hallelujah and... what was it? Some
werewolf hockey team. I don't remember the name of
it. Yeah, hockey pups, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah. I hope that was it.
I don't That's it too.
That's clever as hell.
Now you're making me think that's not it. But yeah. So yeah, you made a bunch of these fake posters though. And so we like, I made some audio to go with the fake posters. One of them was like and subscribe. And so like we play it, I think, in one of the episodes. We release it on our Instagram, so you can find it there. But it's a fake audio trailer for a movie that doesn't exist called Like and Subscribe. We put this out in like 20...
With the tagline, if you're following him, ... he's already following you.
Yeah, so... yeah, it's called Hockey Pups. Okay.
Nice.
I'm glad you said that's genius to the thing that you came up with. That is so
fucking brutal. Hilarious when I drink.
The person who thought of that's on another level. He must be Kanye West over here. Oh, man. Anyways. So you came up with the poster. You came up with the idea of like and subscribe. Then I made a fake audio trailer for it. We put it all out there.
Like on, more of a storyline.
Yeah. We put it all out there on the internet. But because we're not famous, whatnot, it just kind of exists there. You know, people saw it.
Yeah, I went back and looked at it. You're the only one who's liked it.
So, anyways, this is.
I didn't even like it.
So, like, go back and like this thing.
I'm going to right now. I'm about to double our likes on like and subscribe.
So, we created this thing and we put it out there. And then yesterday, I'm scrolling through my Instagram feed and I come across like a series of photos, and it's all stuff that someone's like just, you know, screenshot and other funny stuff that I saw online. One of them is, yeah. From a tweet that someone had sent. Oh, let me see. I'm going to look it up real fast because I sent it to you. Okay, yeah. It's a tweet from Mary Sue Ryder. It's all one word, Mary Sue Ryder. Came out earlier this year, and it says, a werewolf who's got a lot of followers or something. Oh, damn it. I just
had a werewolf influencer?
Yeah, an influencer werewolf named Like and Subscribe. Okay? I mean... So you came up with this idea a year before, and yeah, like you said, it got one like me.
It's two now officially.
Yeah. And so Mary Sue,
and it had 42 views. I just saw that it had 42 views. I know that 42 is, but like not one person out of these 42 people fucking liked it. And then 6,000 people retweeted her one fucking sentence.
I'm not dogging her one sentence.
I am.
Okay. she didn't. Maybe she was one of the 42 views, saw it, and went and posted it in her feed.
Like, I'll wait a year.
Yeah.
And then pretend like.
No. I commented at it, and I was like, hey, look. And I linked it to our thing, and I was like, apparently we're all gathering from the same hive mind or whatever, you know. So, yeah. You know, we all. I've had, you know, obviously, like. A lot of things. Either someone posted a Facebook message that I had sent to them like 15 years ago where they were like, oh man, I'm really craving Taco Bell. Too bad they don't deliver. And I commented on their Facebook and I said, oh, have you tried Deliver-E? I was like, you call them up, they'll deliver from any place. Yeah. Yeah, they just go by. You tell them your order, they will pick it up for you and bring it to you. And he's like, oh, really? You got the number to Deliver-E? And I was like, nah, man, I just made that up. I was like, but it's a good idea, right? And then now we live in a world of Uber Eats and DoorDash. So he tagged me in it when it showed up in his memories like a year ago. He's like, hey, remember when you invented Uber Eats? I was like, God damn it. So yeah, other ideas exist. There's a hive mind.
Yeah, yeah. But I also feel like that's happened to us a couple times.
Yeah.
Where like, but I mean like and subscribe is so on the nose.
It was good. It was really good when I read it 2 years ago when you wrote it.
Because, I mean, like, when the iPhone came out, we were like, remember when you're talking about, like, something you could call and listen to music? We didn't invent shit. Like and subscribe is the same title.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. It's, and it's something we could have you know, made. We actually did. We made a fake trailer.
Yeah. Just for it. We're going to be reviewing it soon.
We probably are. But, yeah, so there was that. She, and, yeah, she got, like, almost 7,000 retweets and, like, yeah, who knows, like, 64,000 likes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for her little snippet of a sentence, yeah, when we, like, made content for
it. Yeah. It's got nothing. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be that guy, but, like, if we weren't guys. Like, I don't know her. I don't know if she does, like, the ass and boob photos or anything, or, like, why she has so many followers or anything, but I'm just saying, if we did show boobs and ass, we'd have more than just the both of us liking it.
There's nothing preventing us from showing boobs and ass.
All right. Well, that's our next venture, I guess.
But yeah, no, I just, I didn't want to jump on it and be like, oh man, here's, I mean, it did get me going a little bit yesterday. You know, I don't know. I guess we should be better at shamelessly self-promoting, and we might have, more people might have seen some stuff.
But, yeah.
But that's what we're out there doing now with the movies we don't deserve. So, yeah, check that out. You may end up seeing like and subscribe review there, and maybe you can like it then and subscribe. Oh, man.
For several episodes of our early episodes, like, every time you said like and subscribe, it like wolf howls and shit.
Yeah, we did. No, it's a big part of our lives. And yet I feel like someone's going to have read her tweet here soon and be like, I should
make that movie. And then really make the movie.
Yeah.
And it'll be like the movie based on the tweet by, and it's not going to be us.
Yeah. Well, at least we're saying it here. Oh man. All right. No, I don't want to cry about this stuff too much. So, so yes, thanks for listening. You know, yeah, check out Mary Sue Ryder's tweets. She's pretty good. make sure you check the boxes, like and subscribe to anything. And
what was Courtney's podcast again?
Oh, yeah, it's called The Unladylike Lounge. Okay, so yeah, check her out. Yeah, check out her show. Thanks for listening. If you want to contact us, you can always DM us on social medias at true.criminals.podcast.
Email us at truecriminalsjailpod@gmail.com.
And until next time, I'm Eric.
And I'm Scotty.
And this was True Criminals.
I introduced my mom to ICP.
Like, I'm just really confused because it's like a farm town meth lab with ski mobile clothes.
Yes!
You can like arrest them and they turn sideways and it says, "You're busted." And then they fly off the screen.
Just like a real arrest. Yeah, we did meth for like a whole weekend. And we're like, just the two of us.
I didn't know what PMDD was, so I'm like, it's got to stand for like post-mental disorder.
I mean, close enough.
Yeah.